Have your Bibles, that's okay. I will be putting it up on the big screen this morning, and I've entitled this message to Infinity and Beyond. I'm a Toy Story fan, like me some Buzz Lightyear. So, but really, this title comes from that God's love and His goodness is to infinity and beyond, and He wants us to know that. And I was telling Jada this morning, she was asking me what I was teaching on today, and I was telling her about Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, and I said, I'm trying to teach something and put it in words that, guys, it's beyond our imagination how much God loves us and the goodness of God. We're going to be spending all of eternity just going, wow, God loves me. God is so good. God is so awesome. And so that's, I'm going to try to put this in words today and teach you something. This message is basically about salvation from beginning to end and what it looks like. And I'm telling you guys, God is good and God is love. And I'm going to tell you where this is one of my favorite passages. Actually, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:28. But you need to, you know, I'm a teacher of God's word, so you got to put verses 29 and 30 to it, because 29 and 30 explain verse 28. And my grandma Myrtle Wilson, she was my great grandma, and she lived up here across just west of Leedy School in a little white brick home. Jade and I walk by there. We try to walk every day. We haven't done that in a while. We got to get back in the habit of that. But we would walk by her house. And every time we walk by her house, I think of my grandma Myrtle. And back in the 80s, I'm dating myself, back in the 80s, when I was in school, it's not like it is today. I'd have ball games. We'd go play basketball or baseball. The bus would come in. And we lived 15 miles out in the country. And there were several times that Mom and Dad would have me stay the night with Grandma Myrtle because we had school the next day. And she always loved that. She kept the thermostat. I'm going to tell you some things about my Grandma Myrtle. She kept the thermostat at 80, like Betty Welty does. at 80, so yeah, Betty's. And so when I'd stay the night with her at night, no matter what time of the year it was, I always slept in this little back bedroom, and I'd always open the window. Even if it was, you know, 30 degrees outside, I'd open because the heater was on all the time. And also at Grandma Myrtle's, this was in the 80s, this was before cell phones. So whenever I was at Grandma Myrtle's, it was either visit with Grandma Myrtle or read, and this is something that Grandma Myrtle always had in her house, was National Enquirers. And so I read National Enquirers while I was at Grandma Myrtle's house, and that's where I got my love for Bigfoot, from those National Enquirers. Some of you see me posting about Bigfoot. In fact, Caden Calloway, I see back here to see Clark and his son's Caden. That's my nephew. He told me the other day we were out playing golf, and of course I hit it and I hit a tree. And I said, "Man, I'm wood knocking again." And he goes, "Man," he goes, "I got you a driver cover." I said, "You did?" He goes, "Yeah, I got you a Sasquatch driver cover." I said, "Man, I need that." And anyway, so that's. But here's the story. What I wanted to mention about my Grandma Myrtle. She gave me a Bible. She went to the Baptist church here. She was a very faithful Christian woman. She loved God. She would go around picking up. She had this big old car, and she'd go around pick up a few other old ladies that were her friends, and they'd go to church on Sundays. But she gave me a Bible, a good reading Bible. It was the New Living Translation, I believe, what it was. In that Bible, she had wrote a scripture reference, Romans 8:28. She'd put in there, to Mark from Grandma Myrtle, and then it says Romans 8:28, and so that was one of the first scriptures that I learned, was that scripture. I was in high school, and I remember going and reading it, and it says this. It says, "And we know," and I'm going to turn there, "and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." Guys, there is a lot of stuff packed in that one scripture right there. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." Now, I've wrote that scripture, shared that scripture with other people, and that's good, but we need to put verses 29 and 30 with it because it helps explain verse 28. It says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. All right, that's my scripture text for today. And I'm going to take these three scriptures and I'm going to unpack them, okay? I'm calling on the gift of teacher today to come through me. Because, guys, there is so much truth and so much love and so much goodness wrapped up in these scriptures. It is unbelievable. I mean, it is beyond our imagination. And so here's the outline, all right? First, number one, God's promise is to those who are saved. How many of you here are saved? Okay, good. Almost everybody. If you're not, by the time you leave today, you will be, I promise. God's promise is to those who are saved. In Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know. Did you know that God wants you to know that you're saved? He doesn't want you to doubt it. I grew up for years doubting it. You know, I'd hear preaching, and it was like on Sunday mornings at the times that I did go to church, it'd feel like, okay, I got my daily spank, you know, I got my Sunday spanking, and I feel like I'm you know, not saved, and I'm going to hell. That's not God's best. He wants you to know that he loves you and he is good and he wants nothing but good for you. Amen. All right? He's not out to judge you. That's already taken place. All that happened at the cross for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross for us. And so God wants you to know. And what I put up there is you can't know what you don't know. And so there has to be teachers come along, and I want to be one of them. God, help me do this. Is I want to teach people the love of God and the goodness of God. And that's what's going to bring this last day. Dusty texted me this morning and said, you know, I still envision this house being full of people. I do too. But how it's going to become full of people is when people get that revelation that he loves me. And those out there are going to know that we in here, you know, belong to him up there when we have love for one another, first of all. And then we can go out here and rightly love those people that are outside the four walls of the church. But Hosea 4:6 says, the reason why people don't know this is because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Most of the people, I've surveyed that, even in the Bible Belt, guys, people just, they feel like God's mad at them. They may have not have been to church but one time that year, but they're just constantly, and that's the enemy's voice. They're under that condemnation and that guilt. What God wants you to know is that God loves you and that God is good. And everybody said, all right, so under this number one, we're going to unpack this a little bit. Verse 28 says, we know that for those who love God. It says, and we know that for those who love God. This promise is for believers that love God. How many of you love God in here? You're saved and you love God. Okay. Number two, I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. Number two, we know God is working in every circumstance of our life. What, I don't care if you came in here today and you feel like you got life under control, God's still at work in your life. If you came in here today and you're like, nope, my life is not under control, it's out of control. Well, guess what? God's at work in your life. He's working behind the scenes to bring it all together for your good. And so we know. And so we know God is working in every circumstance of our life, and we know that for those who love God, all things. Everybody say all things. All things. Do y'all know what the Greek word for all? It's all things. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together. He's taking the bad things, the good things, the in-between things, and he's working them all together for you good, for your good, synergistically in the background. That's that word synergy. All right, number three. We know all things God works together for good. And it says this in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Everybody say for good. Not bad, for good. And this is Psalms 119, verse 68. Here's a good scripture to memorize this week. Psalms 119, verse 68, talking about God. It says, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God is good and he does good. Now, there's a lot of people out there that will make you, you know, the enemy is really good at making you believe that bad stuff comes from God, that evil stuff comes from God. God is good and he does good. We live in a fallen world. And we're the, in that fall, what happened at the fall was the knowledge of good and what? Evil. So the enemy knows that. So he's like, if I can mess with their mind and make them believe that even the evil comes from God, I got them. And there's a lot of good Christian people that believe, well, I got cancer because God's trying to teach me something. That is hogwash. That is false. That is not from God. There is, you got to get this understanding. There is no evil in God, only goodness and love. I love, I can feel it in here today. And I know y'all have been in church services here, maybe somewhere else. But when God's presence is there, everybody's loving on everybody. I've even been in church services when you knew at the beginning of church, that family's here and that family. They're at odds with one another. And by the time the service is over, they're hugging each other's necks because of the presence of God, because of his love and his goodness. So God's presence, there's everybody loving on everybody, and that's what God wants. Here's number four. God works good for those who are called according to his purpose. This is the verse 28 again. We're still unpacking it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. We're going to talk more about called here in just a second. Then number five, he works good for those who are called according to his purpose. And so the whole scripture again, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now this is where the enemy trips people up at. We live in a fallen world. I just said that. Not everything that happens to us is good. Amen?
Amen.
But here's the deal. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God can work it for our good. We live in a fallen world. Things happen just because we live in a sinful world. Bad things happen because the enemy is attacking us. But God's not sending that. God, that's happening here. But if you're a child of God, God can cause even the bad things to work together for your good. That's how good God is. All right, here's number two. Number two, I want to get to number three. That's why it seems like I'm going really fast this morning. I'll share my notes with anybody. That's all you got to do. I'll email them to you. Number two, God's purpose in salvation. Romans 8:29 tells us this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn, and I put rank there, that's what that firstborn means, among many brothers. Jesus is the glorious one, all right? And every one of us, we join him in that. Here's the purpose of salvation. And you may have never thought about this before, but the purpose of salvation is not to escape hell. The purpose of salvation is not to go to heaven. The purpose of salvation is not the forgiveness of sin. The purpose of salvation is not that the righteousness of God is going to be yours. Those are all benefits of salvation. The purpose of salvation is right there in verse 29. Let Bible interpret Bible. Says to the purpose of salvation is to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the work of salvation. God's working on us. He's working on me every day through circumstances, situations. What would Jesus do? That's the Holy Spirit teaching you. That's him molding you into the image of his son. All right, so now we know what the purpose of salvation is. Now we're going to learn, this is number three, and this is what I wanted to get to, is God's process of salvation, and there's five stages. And so if you're taking notes, now would be the good, and if you're not taking notes, now would be the good time to take notes, or you can listen to this message on the podcast. But Romans 8, 29 through 30 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's a mouthful, guys. But there's five stages here in the process of salvation. And here's the first stage. Number one is he foreknew. Everybody say foreknew. It says, for those whom he foreknew. A lot of times, you know, if you've, some people get this confused, that's talking about foresight, that God knew ahead of time who was going to get saved, all right? That's really not what this is talking about. He foreknew. So take this apart, the word knew, and I know some of you have read this in the Bible where you, I'll take the book of Genesis, since we talked about the book of Genesis. It says Adam knew Eve, okay? What that means is he had an intimate relationship with her, and they produced offspring, okay? So when this word foreknew, what it means is it's not foresight. It means intimate relationship. It's basically this. I'm just going to get it in redneck version. It's a love relationship. God wants a love relationship with you. Amen. That's what he wants. And Amos 3:2 says this, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. But God knew all the other families, right? Okay, play along with me, all right? He knew all the, but he says, you only I have known, because he had a relationship with them. Now, with the other ones, he didn't have a relationship, but he had a relationship with them. So that's that first stage of foreknew. And I'm going to give you a few other scriptures that go with this. It was not because you were more in number than any other people, this is God talking to the children of Israel, that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. Can you remember, I know most of you in here raised your hands, that you're saved. Can you remember when God set his love on you and chose you? I do. I remember it vividly. God set his love on me and chose me. And I'm telling you guys, and Jada remembers it. I think it was several months there, I couldn't do anything but cry. I mean, I'd be driving along and see a tree, and I would just bawl. I'm serious. God created that tree for me. You know, I mean, I just had this Mallory's laughing, but it's the truth. I mean, I just had this overwhelming revelation that God loves me. And that God, everything that I see around me, God created for me. I'm serious, God. Man, you need that revelation. I had that revelation. I know some of you in here shaking your heads. You remember that when God set his love on you. And I've had those times where you get away and you get alone with God, and it happens again because he wants that relationship with you. Dusty and I have talked about this. We went on a men's retreat one time, and I was sitting up on a mountain one day where they give you two deals of Gatorade and two deals of water, and you go on a fast, and you're just, they say, go up the mountain wherever you want to go and just spend time with God all day. We'll be back around 5 o'clock and pick you up. Oh, okay. You know, so I take off and I go up there, and you know, after a while you're just detoxing from all the world and all your thoughts and junk, and then all of a sudden you start feeling the presence of God. And I can remember sitting there, and they have little activities that you do throughout the day on this men's retreat that we went on, and one of them was find something that God is speaking to you through. All right, guys, I'm telling you, God was speaking to me through a rock, and it was a rock shaped like a spear, and I've got it still back there laying on my desk. And God was telling me, you're the tip of my spear. And I was just boohooing and picking up a rock and putting it in my pocket, you know. And that's what I'm talking about when God set his love on you and chose you. And guys, when I got back in the bus with all the other guys that they'd picked up, I'm like, I'm losing it. You know, you have that thought, you know, but it was a good feeling. And then we get back to the place where we're staying at, and all the guys were sitting around, and everybody's sharing their God stories that happened on the mountain. And it is, you know, we're laughing, we're crying together, you know. This one guy is he's just a cowboy dude. And he looked at us, and I'll never forget this. He goes, I swear to God, hummingbirds are angels. And he shared this story that he got lost, and God sent a hummingbird to lead him out of this place where he was lost at. And we all just died laughing. But to him, it was like God sent a hummingbird as an angel to get me unlost out there in the woods. But what I found out, that when we sat around there and talked, this scripture was coming alive. I noticed that the Lord set his love on us and chose us. And that's what God wants to do. When you spend time with him like that, he wants that relationship. All right, Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 5 says, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. All right, now I'm going to try to do something. This is where I'm calling on the gift of teacher and the Holy Spirit, because I want this word foreknew and predestined, okay? This is the best way I can tell you. you can only understand this from the positive, all right? God's positive, amen? God's good. So you can only understand the word foreknew and predestined, and you have to realize this, God is good and God is love, amen? Because here's what happens is when you start thinking about foreknew and predestined, then if you know anything, and the enemy's, you know, I know how he works with our minds and looking at Scripture too, is he'll say, okay, if he foreknew and predestined, then he also foreknew and predestined those that are going to hell, okay? And here's what I want you to do. Then that imposes that God is evil and that God sends people to hell, right? God don't send people to hell. Amen? Okay, I hope you understand this. So, and if you ever get around somebody and they say, well, I think the Bible says, when they say that, just shut your ears, okay? That's when you shutty. That's the problem where a lot of people, well, I think the Bible says this, well, I think, and that's where all these doctrines of men come from and stuff, and it's leading people astray. We got to let what interpret what? We got to let the Bible interpret Bible, all right? So God, if God, in his foreknowledge and his predestination, you only understand it from the positive. God is good and God is love. Now, here's what I want to show you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12 says, they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. It was a choice. Everybody got that? Okay. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Whenever you choose the wrong path, you're deceived. You're walking in a delusion. And everybody said, all right, but they chose it. And I'm going to keep showing you this because we're getting into number two is predestined. So I wanted to show you that a little bit in the foreknowledge when he foreknew, and that was about relationship, predestined, and this is number two, the second stage predestined. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Then in Acts chapter 2, verses 27 through 28, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So here we're talking more about this predestination. Again, I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 again. In love, he did it in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Here it is again. Let me stop. Here it is again in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 17. And I want you to understand, we're going to get to this. This is a choice, okay? This is going to help you understand and so that you'll be able to influence others. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, and all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. That's talking about the Antichrist. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made, the book that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered. We'll read this again in Revelation 17, verse 8. It says, and the people who belong to this world whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died. Again, I want you to understand what I wrote down at the bottom. They determined their outcome and their destiny. Now, and I'm going to tell you something that I don't understand, but it's the mystery of free will. We all have choices. The Bible even says that the angels, they're like, what is God doing with these human beings? You know, he's given them a free will to choose to love him or not to. And here's another thing. I'm responsible for my salvation. I'm not responsible for my dad's. I'm not responsible for my wife's. I'm not responsible for Jared's. Every one of us in here, even though they're family and I can influence them and they can influence me, I'm not responsible for their salvation. They have to make that decision themselves. They have to make that decision themselves. Okay, here's the third stage. It's called Romans 8, verses 29 through 30 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called." Called. Okay, all this is the process of salvation. He saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Look at somebody and say, he called you. All right. 2 Thessalonians verses 2 through 13 says this, "As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that come through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news." You know, a lot of times when we talk about, when people share about how I got saved, people go, "Well, I was at a church, and the pastor was preaching, and I came under conviction, and so I stood up," or "I raised my hand, I walked forward, I knelt down, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." That all sounds right and good, but you know what? There's too much I in there. You had nothing to do with it. This scripture says that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. That's humbling, guys. All you had to do is choose. That's it. All right, here's the fourth stage. This is a good stage, too. This is where I believe a lot of you here are starting to understand this, the justification process. And here it is, Romans 8, verses 29 through 30. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Okay, here it is. Justification is the act of God whereby the sinner is given faith to believe, receives forgiveness of all sin. Everybody say all sin. God, that is past, present, and future, and is assigned the righteousness of Christ. Here's what I'm saying. If the Holy Spirit has called you, you've responded to that call, you cannot undo your salvation. You are not that powerful. Amen? Yes, amen. You are not that powerful. You cannot do it. God has saved you past, present, and future. You cannot undo your salvation. I had a little girl here. It's been years ago, and she was a teenager, and guys, she was tormented from the enemy because she was constantly doubting her salvation. I would visit with her, and she goes, "Pastor Mark, I just don't know if I'm saved." And I said, "Well, you know that you've accepted Jesus." "Yeah, I have, but I did this last week, and I thought this the other day, and I just don't feel like I'm saved." And I said, "Honey, that's an attack of the enemy on your mind. You've got to realize God, when he saved you, he saved past, present, and future. You are saved. You're saved. Quit letting the enemy torment you and making you doubt your salvation. Because when he can win in that battlefield, then we have no influence over anybody else." And so God wants you to know that you are saved. And then here's the fifth stage. This is yet to happen. It's happening already, I should say. But one of these days, we're all going to have a glorified body. And I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime with my glorified body. I will have a chest. My chest will not be down here. It will be up here. Romans 8, I have no idea what our glorified bodies are going to look like. I just know from Scripture, letting Bible interpret Bible, that Jesus walked through doors. So we'll just be able to come and go however we want. Don't ask me how all that, see, that's another mystery. Don't understand all this, but this is true. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn of many, many brothers." How many times you heard me read that this morning? "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." One of these days, we're going to have our glorified body. Guys, you're already glorified. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You already are. one of these days you're just going to, this, the Bible calls this the tabernacle, the temple, the tent. It's just going to, it's going to give up one day. You know, we get old. I'm starting to realize I'm getting older. Starting to feel it and stuff. But my spirit man is very young. That's why in my spirit man, I still feel like I'm 18 and I can do it. But I can't. My body's telling me otherwise. But one of these days, this body, but my spirit, well, I'm glorified. I'm going right into glory. Amen. All right. Now, here's the deal. We're here now, and so this is what you got to understand, and this is something I shared with this little girl that one time, a teenager that was struggling with her salvation. I told her, I said, God wants you to be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He wants you to be confident in that. That, yeah, I may have messed up, but God's conformed me into his image of his son. I may have sinned. I may have said something I shouldn't have said, done something I shouldn't have done, blah, blah, blah. But God, you know what? The Holy Spirit is working on me, and he's changing me. He's transforming me. Still doing it to me. Romans 8:28 again. And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I want to sum this up, what God wants us to do in life. Number one, he wants us to influence others. I don't, you know, it could be in your family. It could be at work. It could be, you know, that you're going to, you have a pulpit ministry, whatever. But God wants you to influence somebody for the good, that they see Jesus through you. Amen? Amen. And here's the second thing that I'm learning from God. God says, Mark, in the process of you doing that, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to have fun. That's why when you drove down the road that day, when I set my love upon you and chose you, and you drove down the road that day and you saw that tree and you started weeping that, hey, he created that tree from, I know that sounds stupid, but that he created that for me to enjoy. He created my grandson, who I'm going to get to see today, to enjoy. Amen. He all the things that he's brought into your life, he's done that for you to enjoy. Now, here's the deal. I know I'm looking around here, and I'm seeing a lot of you, there's been some bad things happen. Didn't come from God. It's because we live in a fallen world or the enemy's attacking. But here's what God wants you to do. He's wanting you to know today that, hey, I'm working behind the scenes. I'm working everything for your good, and I just want you to enjoy life. Some of you need the joy of your salvation, and just enjoy life. Enjoy life. It's not that bad. It's really not. And there's a lot of you in here that's been through a lot. I know your stories, but God still wants you to enjoy life. He puts you here to influence others and enjoy life and to have fun. I know. Christians are supposed to be the happiest people on the planet. And that's how you influence other people. We're supposed to be the most peaceful people on the planet. You know? And there's a peace. Here's the deal, guys. There's a peace the Bible talks about that passes all understanding. You may be going through hell on earth, stuff happening in your family, stuff happening at work and all that, but you have a peace that passes all understanding because you belong to him. Amen? Is everybody ready to enjoy life today?
Yes.
And I want you to know, guys, that's why I titled this The Toy Story. Already turned my deal off. The toy, yeah. Whoops, sorry, Carrie. Thanks, Carrie. God wants you to know today that he loves you to infinity and beyond. He also wants you to know that his goodness is to infinity and beyond. We're going to be spending eternity just, first of all, when you get to heaven, you get to meet Jesus, you get to see, you know, people in the Bible that you've studied about, you get to see your family members, you get to see this, and, you know, I don't know how many years that's going to take right there, you know, and you're just all the time going to be walking around going, wow, God is so freaking good, you know, he loves me so much. But guys, here's the deal, God wants you to enjoy life right now.
Yes.
Even in this fallen world, even right now, God wants you to enjoy life. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And you may ask, well, Pastor Mark, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you got to, God chose you, but you also got to choose him. It works both ways. And the Apostle Paul told us how to do that in Romans chapter 10, just a few chapters over. He said in Romans 10, verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to help you do that today if you've never done that. Remember, it's about you and the Lord. It's about your salvation. Only you can control you. That's it. And so I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation today. And even if you are saved and you know it, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, all right, I want our praise team to come on up here, and we're going to go out with How Great Thou Art, okay? And this song ought to have this great hymn, and I love how Luke led it with the electric guitar. This song ought to have a whole lot more meaning to it after we just heard from God's Word. So I want you to stand up. We're going to go out with this song, and I'm going to, after the song, I'm going to speak a blessing over you, okay? Look at somebody and say, to infinity and beyond.
To
How great thou art.
take me home. What joy shall fill my heart?
Sing it out, let's go.
When I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Yes, hallelujah.
All right, I want to speak God's blessing over you as we dismiss today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week to infinity and beyond. Enjoy your Sunday.